I'm not the woman I used to be. I'm free with Minister Diane Jones. Ladies, this is the show that's here to give you stories of hope and healing from someone who has been there, someone who has fought back from the horrors of incest. Minister Diane's innocence was stolen from her in the land of alcoholism and mental illness, which led to her being emotionally, physically, and sexually abused by her parents. Yet in spite of the trauma of her early years, she went on to become a successful wife, mother, registered nurse, and minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Plus, she's a virtuous woman who can help you find that woman in your life. Don't let the weight of this world or things that happen to you control your life. This is I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free on TogiNet. And now, here is your host, Minister Diane Jones.
Hey, people. Hello, hello. I hope you are well. I am well. I'm glad to be live with you again. Yes, it's me. It's you. We're here together, getting ready to do what we do, all right? I'm trying to rhyme a little bit off the cuff without no practice, without any practice. Let me correct my English. I'm having a good time. I am getting ready. Let's see, I poured me a cup of homemade iced tea because it was actually 95 degrees today. When I got in my car to leave work, it was actually 95 degrees today. Being inside all day, I had no idea it was that hot outside. Thankfully, once I got home and got settled in, the temperature was dropping and it came down to 86, but that's still a nice summery type day. So I had to switch from drinking my hot tea, which I was drinking at work, and I came home and I poured me some iced tea. Does it make sense, y'all? Let me get a quick sip. Makes sense to me. Pretty gritty, pretty good. Okay, so now that we've done that, you know I like to catch up a little bit, even though it hasn't been terribly long since I've been live. The last time was 4/15, so that's not quite 2 weeks. I try to do a live show at least every 2 weeks, so we're on schedule here. So the only thing I want to share in terms of catching up is that we just held our Wise Women's Group meeting. Equipping the Saints Ministries just held our Wise Women's Group meeting this past Friday. We've been aiming to meet at least once a month. We started out meeting more often than that, but the attendance fizzled. I found that dealing with younger women, and I'm saying like in their 30s-ish, 30-ish-ish, and for me growing up, that wasn't, I mean, it was, I was still a young woman, but that's not like being in your 20s young. So I found that dealing with younger women, it's a little more challenging to keep them on track and attending regularly. They have families and they're just not as committed and responsible as back in my day, even in our 30s. By the time I was in my 30s, honey, I was going to church regularly. In my day coming up, honey, we were going to church as a teenager. I was going to church in my mid-teens to late teens, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, sometimes Friday nights, and sometimes trips would come up or whatever, but it was easy to be regular, okay? Things have changed. So long story short, we started out meeting regularly, but found that that didn't work. So right now we're just trying to meet at least once a month. And we just met this past Friday. And it was a beautiful time in the Lord, actually. It was a very beautiful time in the Lord. We ended up with a range of ladies, not just my younger group, but one of our mothers. Some of you may remember I had Mother Norma on our program some years ago. She came on and she was a guest, and she had written, she has written several books actually, and she's actually written one even since then, and her book is actually on the show page, this radio show page. If you go to the show page, you'll see the name of it is Pix. I believe it's Pix. Last I knew, she was in the process of revising it and possibly changing the title, but it's still on our show page as Pix. So we were blessed to have her join us. She's a mother in Zion. She's an elder woman. And she blessed us with words of encouragement and words of wisdom and even practical direction for one of the young ladies who began to talk to us about situations that she was dealing with on her job. And that's kind of how we flow. Oftentimes the Lord will have me teach from the outline that I originally drafted for this particular group, but that time I felt like the Lord was leading me to do something different, and our meetings are always subject to the leading of the Lord, so we ended up catching up with one another, which led to a discussion about workplace issues, and that tied into recognizing and strategizing for dealing with someone who is bound by what we refer to as a Jezebel spirit. Some people try to say that there is no such thing as a Jezebel spirit. If you want to object to that, fine. You don't have to call it a Jezebel spirit. It's a demon spirit anyway. And Jezebel was a person in the Bible that fit this description of how this particular demon functions. So that's how the Jezebel spirit got its name. But anyway, it's very, very difficult and very, very serious when you are being targeted by someone who is bound by this spirit, who operates in this spirit. So we ended up discussing and advising and agreeing to pray for one of the particular ladies who's currently, as she put it, in a battle, but there, she believes, there, planted there to take back territory, to be a light in the midst of darkness. And that's typically what we're all called to do. Every born-again Christian, every believer who is a born-again Christian, we are called to be light. We are called to be cities that are set upon the hill that cannot be hidden. We don't go on our jobs just to make money, just to be able to pay our bills. That's a necessity, of course, but our mission is twofold. We have to make a living and take care of our families. That's primarily the man's job, the husband's job. But if you are not married, if you are maybe young and single, or like me, a widow, and you have to work, then you have to work. And people do deal with very difficult challenges and situations in the workplace. That reminds me that I had a goal and a desire, and was actually prophesied to that I would write multiple books. I did end up writing two more books after my first book. The Story of Me was the first one. The Overcoming Sexual Abuse was my second one. The Story of Me, a Black Nurse, was my third one. And I actually started working on a fourth one. I don't even want to say the title because it's not finished yet, but it's been years since I've gone back to it, and this actually makes me remember that that is something else that I hope to finish, and I believe the Lord is going to allow me the time to finish someday. But anyway, I was supposed to be catching up with you all, right? So we had our women's meeting. It ended up being a very practical yet spiritual discussion. And then the Lord led me to minister to each individual person that came on the call, just to encourage them, to pray for them. The Lord ended up giving us a word of not just encouragement, but basically, I guess you could say, what, admonishment, directing us specific things to do in this season and in this hour. So it was a really, really blessed time, okay? And out of that time, one of the young ladies asked, actually, if we could have an all-night prayer, an all-night women's prayer. And we agreed. We all felt like that was a good thing to do. It's one of the things I've been advocating for some time now, that the saints need to go back to doing those kinds of things. When God puts it on your heart to do, we need to do it, because we are definitely dealing with some, you know, very, very wicked and troubling things, and we need to stay prayed up, as we used to call it. So we are planning to have an all-night prayer meeting on May 3rd, the 24th, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on the 4th of May. And I want to extend the invitation that if any of you are listening and you're interested, hit me up. Send me an email. I'll be back after the break.
Has a tragic past shattered your future or your now? Don't let it. This is I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free. With Minister Diane Jones. And we'll be right back after these.
Equipping the Saints Ministries. Our mission is to equip and mature the people God calls to do the things they are called to do with confidence and boldness, to create soldiers for the army of the Lord, and to impact our communities. We are home-based in Waldorf, Maryland. If you would like more information, you may email us at etsministriesinc@gmail.com or write to us at ETS Post Office Box 72, Waldorf, Maryland 20602. If you are not local, you may participate via conference calls, we can make information available to you by email. ETS. The Story of Me is a captivating and inspiring account of a woman able to overcome incest, physical abuse, abandonment, and neglect, to find a second chance at happiness. It is a story for those who have been rejected, who have dreamt and fallen short, who have survived traumas such as molestation, rape, or incest. The Story of Me is very inspirational for those who may find themselves in Jones's story. You may purchase your copy of The Story of Me online at authorhouse.com, this show's host page, amazon.com, or any of the major bookstores. The Story of Me.
Thank God I am free.
back to I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be, I'm Free on TogiNet.com, the show dedicated to helping women find their way back to themselves after innocence was stolen by incest and abuse. Helping you heal, it's what we're all about. It's I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be, I'm Free on TogiNet. And now, back to your host, Minister Diane Jones.
All right, people, in case I haven't said it, I do have a topic lined up for tonight, and I'm kind of leading into it. Before I skip and go to that, I just want to say that anyone who is interested in attending the all-night women's prayer that we are planning for May 3rd, 9 p. to 9 a. excuse me. Just send me an email, and I will send you. I will talk to you and find out where you're at, really spiritually. Just kind of get a feel for the reason that you want to join us, and give you our Zoom information. If we still agree, you both agree, we agree that that's what you still want to do. You have to be careful these days about who you invite to these kinds of things. Our setting is intentionally intimate, personal. We don't want to disrupt the flow, if you know what I'm saying, but we do want to welcome people that are truly like-minded and are wanting to pray and wanting to fellowship and so forth and so on. So, that being said, I've been working as a registered nurse, again. As some of you know, I'm also a registered nurse. I've had a at times hate relationship with my career choice. If you've been listening to me for any length of time, you already know this about me. I mentioned the fact that I wrote a book, The Story of Me, a Black Nurse. I did that at a time in my life when I was actually very, very, very frustrated and very upset and tired and frustrated with the healthcare profession and the challenges that I had been facing. I wrote it at a very difficult time in my career. And that was, back in 2004 when I actually wrote the first draft. And then in 2010, the Lord blessed me to actually finish it up and get it published. And you'll hear the commercial about the book. But because of some recent events, I have been stirred up again about my book. I have not done a book reading in some time. I used to come on here and do book readings, and when I actually first started this radio ministry, the first several years we spent, my husband was working with me at the time, and he was my behind-the-scenes engineer and support in many other ways, but the first several years we spent talking about the second book, Overcoming Sexual Abuse, and then a few times here and there, I did a book reading from my third book, The Story of Me, a Black Nurse. So that's actually what I'm going to do tonight. I'm going to do a book reading, but I wanted to kind of set you up for the reading and tell you that remind you. Some of you may know this already. Some of you might be newly listening. So, I've been on and off again with nursing because I've been in the healthcare field for basically 40 years now. Actually, more than 40 years now, if you count my entry-level work, my CNA work. It's been more than 40 years now, okay? So I've seen a lot, done a lot during those times, and when my hubby, my Chris, when he went home to be with the Lord, I actually wasn't even working as a nurse anymore. I had stopped working in 2019, and I was only working part-time at that time. I had got to the place where I was selective about what I would do, and thankfully was able to make those choices. Not that we were rolling in the dough, as some used to say. I had to adjust and not expect extra things. We were blessed and taken care of, but I just didn't want to do it anymore. I just didn't want to do it anymore. The health profession has changed a lot from the time that I entered the field, in some good ways and in some very bad ways. And I was one that was committed to the work, to my patients, to my clients, to my residents. You know, over the years, depending on where I was working at, we had to call those that we served different titles, different names. But I was one that was committed to that and was not willing to compromise that. And so I faced a lot of ups and downs and persecution because of that. Add to that my race, my color, and it made it even more of a challenge. So, 2019, I stopped working at the last position that I had, although I had a measure of success there, and I did experience some of the rewards for that work. I also experienced some persecution and mistreatment, and Chris and I had other things going on in our life at the time. His father was ill and on his deathbed, and I decided that being with him and available to him was more important than dealing with some of that other stuff. So anyway, I had lots of reservations, lots of objections, lots of stress about the idea of having to go back into the workforce after Chris passed and having to do so full time also. Being older, I had all of these concerns about how I wasn't as sharp as I used to be, how I was not going to be able to endure the hours, some of the concerns about previous and past persecution were on my mind, and I was pleading with the Lord, oh, Lord, please open some other door, make some other way where I don't have to go back into the workforce. But the Lord didn't give me what I wanted. He didn't give me what I wanted. He later let me know that he wanted to show me that I could do what I didn't think that I can do, that I did still have the skills and the capability, and not only did I still have it, but I'm actually more seasoned now. Even though I'm older, I'm more seasoned now. And he wanted me to see that for myself. Do I feel it? Do I feel the physical strain? Yes. Do I sometimes feel the emotional strain and the frustration? Yes. Do I still deal with some challenges? Yes. But I was very surprised and relieved to find out that I could still do it. That I could still do it. And recently, I've been touched because I have met people doing the kind of work that I'm doing now, which is something I had never done before. That's one of the things I loved about being a nurse, is that there seemed to always be some new opportunity, some new area to, you know, work in, to learn new skills, to apply old skills, to be challenged in. That has been an awesome blessing. Okay, you can stay in the field, but do new things. And so since 22, since the end of 22, around August or so of 2022, I've been working as a school nurse. And that's something that I have never done. You won't find that in my book, because my book only went up to approximately 2004 in my career. So there's been a lot since then. So anyway, I'm doing school nursing, and recently I've been touched. I have received compliments and some that brought tears to my eyes, because I'm just doing what I know to do, what I've been committed to doing, and it stands out. It stands out. So when you work hard and when you remain committed, everybody doesn't appreciate it. But when someone does, it touches me. It touches me. And one of these women just gave me some very warm compliments about working with me just a few times, and ended up buying my book, The Story of Me, A Black Nurse. And that was a blessing to me, to be able to encourage her in the career, and for her to continue to pursue her goals in healthcare. So when I come back from the break, I'm actually going to do some reading. We got a couple of more segments left, and I'm going to do some reading. All right. I'm a few seconds early, so let me see what I have in the notes here and see, did I miss anything significant? I said I'm more seasoned now. I'm an old school. That's what I've been telling people. I'm an old school nurse. That seasoning matters. All right? More after the break.
Has a tragic past shattered your future or your now? Don't let it. This is I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free with Minister Diane Jones. And we'll be right back after these.
It's the Fitness Minute with fitness expert Annette Hammond.
Many of us look forward to the holidays all year long. It is such a magnificent opportunity to get together with family and friends and decorate and give gifts and eat the most delicious food. But numerous people dread the holidays as far as their weight, health, and exercise are concerned. They know they'll have so much temptation and chances to derail their healthy lifestyle. Many just resolve themselves into thinking that gaining weight over the holidays is a fact and there is no way to avoid it. But it doesn't have to be that way. I want you to embrace the holidays. Have a plan before you go to any dinner, party, or event, and decide what you're going to eat and stick with it. Yes, there will be temptation, but you can overcome it. Stay with the plan and reap the benefits. You can contact us at fitnessminute@annettehammond.com.
A black nurse. This narrative is about the struggles of being a black woman and a black professional in a society bound with racial and gender bias. She has hopes, dreams, needs, a purpose, and aspirations, but faces constant opposition to fulfilling these basic human requirements. Like so many people of color before her, she achieves some measure of success, but her success is minor compared to what she must do to achieve it. It's time for a change. Get your copy today from authorhouse.com, this show's host page, or any major book retailer like amazon.com. A black nurse.
Thank God I am free. I am free.
Welcome back to I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free on TogiNet.com. the show dedicated to helping women find their way back to themselves after innocence was stolen by incest and abuse. Helping you heal. It's what we're all about. It's I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free on TogiNet. And now, back to your host, Minister Diane Jones.
I can't do it like Chris did. Chris did those commercials for me. But you heard it. That was the commercial for the book that I'm about to read to you. It was intended to convey, you know, someone basically like running through the thickets and running through the high weeds or reeds and trying to make it, so to speak, trying to escape from their persecutors and someone pursuing them, but trying to make it, you know, trying to get to a place of safety and accomplish some good things. Whew. I'm going to start with about the author. I've probably read this before, y'all, but I was looking through the book and I haven't read it in a long time. But I figured I would just start at the beginning. So here we go. About the author, restore the art of caring and promote a spirit of excellence to the nursing profession. I hope and pray somehow to provoke and motivate some of you to relight this torch and carry it to the finish line. I'm going to ad-lib a little bit here. I have found that, number one, as a believer, as a born-again Christian, we are required to put our best foot forward, okay, to be good stewards of the talent, the skills, the abilities that God has given us, and to portray that spirit of excellence, basically strive to be excellent, strive to be good at what you do. Why? Because we are ambassadors for Christ in this earth, in this world. We are here on assignment, and we are supposed to be letting our lights shine. When people see us and encounter us, they're supposed to know that there's something different about us. If they talk to us, they will find out that the difference is that we are motivated to please our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay? So in writing this book, it was not a story of just troubles and woes. You know, my first book wasn't for that, and this one is certainly not for that. I want to somehow provoke and motivate, basically inspire others who might be called in this area, in the area of helps, in the area of ministering and caring for others, because I do believe that nursing is a calling, okay, to relight this torch and carry it to the finish line. We cannot let the art of caring die. Okay. Diane Jones has served the public for 30 years, first as a certified nursing assistant, next as a licensed vocational nurse, and now as a registered nurse. Of course, those figures have changed since the writing of this book. Over the years, she has been both amazed with the benefits of advanced medical technology and troubled by the decline in the ability of healthcare professionals to actually care for the people they care for. I'm sorry, I got to ad-lib a little bit here, you all. My. Even since writing this book, I am actually less amazed with the benefits and of medical technology, because now it is frightening to me to see when you look at someone who is maybe in the ICU, it doesn't even look like you're looking at a caring place anymore. Okay, we've become so accustomed to it that we don't even think about it, but it looks like you're in some sort of a sci-fi high-tech world because you got 50 million machines, beeping and wires and tubes and things attached to people. The last time I saw someone that's dear to me, some of you may have heard me talk about this pastor. I have not met him in person, but I've been blessed by his ministry. I learned of him during the pandemic, and I began to watch his ministry. And he is in the hospital right now, and he was near death. He ended up in a situation where he had some medical problems, and he needed a surgery to correct some problems with his esophagus, if I'm not mistaken. His esophagus needed some surgical correction, and he had that done like a few months ago, and he did not know it, but something either came loose or was not done properly. We don't really know at this point, but he ended up with a hole in his esophagus, and over that period of time, instead of the food that he was swallowing going down his throat and into his stomach like it was supposed to, some of it was, and some of it was seeping out into other areas, his chest cavity and lungs and whatnot, till he ended up in severe pain, and had to be transported to the hospital, had to be admitted to the hospital, and where they found that he had all this infectious, black, nasty goop in his body, and he was on the verge of becoming septic, and the doctors, of course, being practical and not spiritual, have repeatedly told him, you know, you're lucky to be alive. And he has repeatedly told them, no, it's not luck. It's, you know, the grace of God. It's the prayers of the saints. But that is a perfect example of how modern medicine has become. Even when I entered the profession, and I'm supposed to be reading, and I'm just having a hard time even sticking to the script. Even when I entered the profession, there were problems in healthcare. There was shortages of nurses, okay? There was major issues in long-term care, particularly. That's where I started out. But over the years, the technology was supposed to have made it better. The new systems that were put in place to streamline how you provide healthcare was supposed to have made it better. But I hear story after story after story of medical malpractice. I advise and have been advising people for years, if possible, you do not let your loved ones be in the hospital unattended without you staying there, because you don't know who's going to be caring for them and how carelessly they may be taken care of. My dearly departed husband was a victim of the same kind of medical malpractice. And here this dear pastor, though he's not blaming the hospital, listening to what he described, I'm saying, wow, here we go again. So I can't even say that I'm amazed anymore about the benefits of advanced medical technology, because that technology is only as good as the person who is running it. It is only good as the situation that that person is in who is running it. If that nurse is having to work 12-hour shifts and barely get a chance to go to the bathroom and barely get a chance to have a break, and she has too many sick people to care for, the chances of her or him doing an excellent job diminishes. It diminishes, and you end up with more and more and more of these mishaps and horrifying situations, okay? Whew, I'm glad I got that off my chest. So let me try to read some more, okay? When she entered the healthcare profession, she vowed to herself that she would never compromise her values as a nurse, and she would give her patients the best care possible, regardless of race Creed. She would care, end quotes, care for people. In spite of many obstacles, she has kept that vow. And as I was reading that today and thinking about the compliments that I have recently received and how me just doing what I know to do, what I've been trained to do, what's ingrained in me now, what comes as second nature to me now, it's noticeable to others. And one of the things that one of these health aides said to me is that she told someone that there are still people that care in this world because of her time working with me. 2 days. I think it was 2 or was it 3 days total. She was inspired to realize that there are people in this world that still care. So that warmed my heart, and I said, thank you, Jesus, that I am still, after all these years, true to my vow, and that in being true to my vow, he is glorified because he gives me the will and the desire to be this way, okay? Caring for people is one of the greatest gifts, one of the greatest opportunities that one can have, because people are the most precious thing. Souls are the most precious thing in this world to God. Souls. Nothing else is more precious than a soul. I'll be back after the break.
Has a tragic past shattered your future or your now? Don't let it. This is I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free with Minister Diane Jones. And we'll be right back after these.
Millions of people are sexually abused each and every day, not just by rape, child molesters, or pedophiles, but by choice and through lifestyle preferences. Who would enjoy being raped again and again? Why is rape spiritual as well as physical? Can a sex offender be healed from abusing others? Find answers to these and other questions in the pages of Overcoming Sexual Abuse by Minister Diane Jones. Available online at authorhouse.com, this show's host page, amazon.com, and any major bookstore. Overcoming Sexual Abuse.
I'm not the woman I used to be. I'm free on TogiNet.com, the show dedicated to helping women find their way back to themselves after innocence was stolen by incest and abuse. Helping you heal. It's what we're all about. It's I'm not the woman I used to be. I'm free on TogiNet. And now, back to your host, Minister Diane Jones.
By the way, speaking to this health aide and having the opportunity to sell her one of my books, it caused me to go on the radio show page and point out to her where she buy the book at, and I discovered that the place where you click to buy this book, the book is not opening up like it's supposed to. It's doing some weird stuff. So if you try to go on there because of listening to this show and get you a book and it's not working, please know that you can go to Author House. That's A-U-T-H-O-R House, authorhouse.com. I think you heard that in the commercial. And you can still order the book directly through my publisher, okay? I apologize for that glitch. As soon as I get a chance, I will redo that link. I will redo it so that nobody will have that problem. All right, so let me see. I'm going to read from the book, page 2, starting towards the second to the last paragraph, okay? And this is going to probably take us out. I may stop and ad-lib because lots of things have happened since writing this book. All right, I was in high school when I decided to enter the medical profession. The school offered a certified nursing assistant program. I would soon be graduating from high school, and I needed some sort of job skills to be able to provide for myself. It was what you might call a practical decision. I took the course and acquired my CNA certificate. That was in 1980. My first job was at a convalescent home. I was very quiet and shy. I did my work and went home. I don't have vivid memories of that experience. I want to say, well, I can recall the name of that place still to this day. I didn't put it in the book, but I can recall the name of that place to this day. I won't go there. I'll just stick with reading. A certified nursing assistant is the first level care provider in the nursing chain of command. Okay? At that time, it consisted of a minimum 6-week course that taught basic bedside care skills and principles. These skills included tasks such as showering, bathing, feeding, changing diapers, and charting requirements. Believe it or not, everybody can't do those skills naturally. It is, I can appreciate those skills being taught. Some people have the natural ability to do that and others don't. So I can appreciate those skills being taught. My course was a bit more extensive. I can't be exact, but I believe it was a school semester. We were taught theory, which included the basic anatomy and physiology of each body system, the effects of aging, and basic skills for caring for the acutely ill and the elderly person. We trained in nursing homes and at acute care hospitals. For some reason, this just reminded me. I had someone reach out to me. You know, there's a lot of these what do they call themselves? Oh, I don't even remember what they call themselves now, but there's people that are, they have access to places like Amazon, and they can see all the books that are being sold, and they can find out your information and contact you and offer to so-called market your book for you. But of course, that's at a price. They want to charge you to redesign perhaps your cover, go through your book, re-edit your book, and decide, you know, maybe they could do a better job with it than you did or than someone else did, and then charge you to do it and tell you how wonderful your book is, but they need to do all these things to make your book more wonderful. So it's really just a way for them to make money off of you. And I had one of the persons call me who was quite persistent, and I ended up having to hang up on him a few times. But he was telling me that he read a review on this book, which on Amazon there was only like 2, I think, after all these years. I know, disappointing. But one person said something to the effect that they had so much difficulty reading this book that they basically gave up on it. And I went on there and I looked and I saw that myself and I said, well, I don't know who that person was because I'm sitting here reading this to you all, and I'm seeing it again for myself in a long time, and I think that it's quite clear. It's quite clear and quite, you know, understandable and legible. So I thought, well, maybe that was a foreigner or someone who doesn't know the English language or something. I had the book edited. And I know that I'm not that poor of a writer. But if any of you have thoughts about it, you know, send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. So, back to the book. Prior to this time, it was not necessary to be certified to work in a nursing home or hospital. This position was known as a nursing assistant, also known as, in parentheses, AKA, N.A., the N.A. standard for nursing assistant, okay? You learn the job on the job. That's the way it was back then. I'm ad-libbing and reading. Back then, as a standard, you were given 2 days of orientation to the facility. Then you were on your own, okay? This was the standard for CNAs, too. So basically, you worked with another N.A. or CNA for 2 days. You followed and watched what she did, and perhaps she would tell you to help her do this or help her do that for 2 shifts. Then you were on your own, okay? Because believe it or not, people did have the ability to pick up things that fast back then. Now you give them six weeks, 8 weeks, sometimes a semester, and people still can't seem to grasp basic skills. Some of these programs are putting people out, basically graduating people, and they are just, oh my goodness, frightening. Frightening. Times have changed so much, okay? The idea was supposed to be to give them more education to make them more qualified. But I don't necessarily see that. To me, it still boils down to the individual. I feel the same way about education, higher education, like bachelor's and master's and doctorates. I see a lot of people walking around with so-called education, and they have no common sense, no mother wit, no people skills. Just, it's pitiful. It's pitiful. But let me go back to the book. Okay, this was the standard for CNAs too. My patient load was usually 10, 12, or more on the day shift. We're talking about people, okay, to take care of 10, 12, or more people on the day shift. The times I worked evenings, I would have 25 or so patients. 25 patients. At times I worked the graveyard shift and had 50 patients to take care of because we were short-staffed. Now, if we were short-staffed back then, when I graduated from high school, which was in 1980, it is a nightmare now. I mean, it was already bad, but it is just, and what gets me about how bad it is now is that some of this was done intentionally. We already had a nursing shortage, okay? But some of this was done intentionally. Things were put in place. Mandates were given to force the few faithful that we had, a lot of them out of the field, to force them out, okay, to thin the pool even more, to discourage, and I won't even go there, okay? I won't even go there. I can tell I'm still very passionate about all this because it's hard for me to even read without commenting on something. Let me see. On these nights, I began my rounds usually by 11:30 p.m., by the time I finished the first round, it was time to start the next one around 2 a.m. So basically, making rounds consisted of checking on my patients, taking their vital signs, changing their diapers if needed, and turning them. okay? Back then, we called diapers diapers. Now, we call them briefs. In California, at least, in the long-term care industry, they decided that it was demeaning to call them diapers, even though that's what they were, and they had to be called briefs. So it was intended to preserve the dignity of the ones who had to wear the diapers, okay? On the morning shift, I remember having to wash and dress most of my patients, get them up, take them to the dining room, some by wheelchair, others walked with help to breakfast, feed several of them, lay them down for naps, take the remaining ones to activities, give showers and change them, take them back to the dining room for lunch, feed again, lay them down for naps, do your charting, and go home. Can you believe it? Can you imagine taking care of 10 to 12? What did I say? On the day shift, I can't even remember what I just read. My patient load was usually 10, 12, or more. Yes. Can you imagine taking care of 10 people in an 8-hour shift and doing all that for them? Believe it or not, we did it. Sometimes, some people would have trouble taking care of a one-on-one, totally dependent person now for 8 hours. But back in those days, we were something else. The human being is capable of much more than we sometimes realize. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but so I won't. That's my book reading for tonight. I'm out of time. I hope you enjoyed it. Please get the book. All right, until next time.
Part of I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free with Minister Diane Jones on TogiNet. Ladies, this is your chance to join us for stories of hope and healing from someone who's been there, someone who has fought back from the horrors of incest. Minister Diane's innocence was stolen from her in the land of alcoholism and mental illness, which led to her being emotionally, physically, and sexually abused by her parents. Yet, in spite of the trauma of her early years, she went on to become a successful wife, mother, registered nurse, and minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a straight-up show to enlighten and to lighten your load. Don't let the weight of this world or things that happen to you control your life. For more information on Diane and her book, go to her show page here on TogiNet and email her directly. Then, get set to join us here again next Monday night for I'm Not the Woman I Used to Be. I'm Free with Minister Diane Jones. Monday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com.